Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk to Nick Sirianni, certainly not a sophomore. He's a head coach of a 7-2 football team and the Eagles head coach, usually with us on Tuesdays, but a different kind of week this week, of course, for the Eagles into a Thursday night game. Nick Sirianni brought to us by Bud Light. Pregame with Devin tomorrow at Xfinity Live, tomorrow night before the game, for the Bud Light football face-off and compete to win a trip. How cool is this? Compete to win a trip to Las Vegas with Bud Light. All right, let's talk to the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni, right now. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Coach.
Nick. So, Nick, a five-game winning streak. You know, I know you're not a victory lap kind of guy, but I just got to ask. It's got to be particularly satisfying with the way you were personally dragged through the mud both locally and nationally. I mean, you got to feel a little something there, right?
Hey, we're just excited. We're playing good right now, and, you know, we're looking forward to getting another opportunity, you know, tomorrow on a short week. And so, no, just put your head down. You continue to work, and you know when you put the work in, you got the right people going in the building. Good things are going to happen.
Nick, what's the biggest challenge with coaching on the short week for a Thursday nighter?
Yeah, sleep.
We know that game. What are the numbers that we're talking about here? Sleep wise,
it's not good. It's not. You know, they what do they recommend? The 7 hours a day. We're not even close to that. But you know what we? You know, the biggest challenge is just, you know, putting the guys in positions to succeed. As far as, you know, with limited time to do so, right? As far as, like, you don't want to do too much. You don't want to, you know, put in a bunch of new things because you don't have time to rep it and or to practice it. So it's just being strategic of, you know, the things that you're going to put in the game plans, and, you know, just again, getting the guys ready, you know, always worrying, you know, I know we're not sleeping, but, you know, making sure the guys are sleeping and then making sure their bodies are right. So there's a lot of things that go into it, a lot of different you know, things that go into making sure that everything's right as far as them mentally. And then just trying to get them as well rested as we possibly can physically.
Nick, is it fair to say it's an extra challenge when it's a quarterback and a good one who you've never faced before? Like Brandon Graham, who's faced almost everybody, has never faced this guy. I got to imagine that makes it a little bit more complex on a short week.
I think this is a good football team, and anytime you're playing a good football team, it's going to be challenging. And he's playing at a very high level. A lot of respect for him and the things they're doing with him. And so, you know, it's always going to be a challenge. You know, this league is littered with a ton of good players. And so, you know, those guys always present challenges. And when you have a little bit less time to prepare, those challenges become even tougher. But, you know, they got a challenge with us as well, you know, because we got good players and good coaches as well. And so, you know, it should be a really good battle. I look forward to it. Really look forward to how rowdy it's going to be over in that stadium tomorrow night. And so, yeah, just but a lot of respect for how Jaden Daniels is playing quarterback. and, you know, doing it at a high level very early in his career.
Jaden Daniels, he's been so awesome, but he's still a rookie. How do you take advantage of a rookie quarterback?
Yeah, you know, obviously rookies, you know, in this league haven't seen everything, and that, you know, different giving them different challenges, giving them different things, giving them different looks, to make it as challenging as possible, you know, so he's not comfortable back there. How do you make a quarterback uncomfortable? You make him uncomfortable by being able to hit him in the pocket, and also, you know, not letting him, you know, see what he thinks he's seen. So, you know, again, we'll have to be on it because this is a good football team, and I know they got good coaches and good players. We'll have to be on it, and that's, you know, that's what we're working on today, tomorrow, and into tomorrow night.
You know, Nick, obviously one of the ways to make your own quarterback the most comfortable he can be is give him the five best offensive linemen he can have. Mulata comes to mind. Looks like it's trending in the right direction. Do you expect Jordan Mulata to play tomorrow night?
Yeah, we'll see. He's working hard. He's worked so hard, and we have great doctors, we have great trainers, we have great strength staff that has worked so hard with him to get him to a position where, you know, we're saying we'll see. You know, last week obviously we couldn't say that. This week, you know, we're getting closer and closer, and you know, but like I said, we have another day to figure it out, and you know, we'll see as we continue on this week.
Nick, I know you got far more important things in your mind, but I got to ask you a question related to Saquon that's just bogging me. We looked it up a day or two ago. Could not believe that Saquon Barkley is not in the top 15 right now for league MVP halfway through the year. Can you make any sense of Saquon Barkley not being in the top 15 for MVP?
Well, I guess I would ask, what publication is that?
Well, it's all over place, all sorts of – it's all the quarterbacks.
It's the betting odds and all
that.
Yeah,
betting odds. It's quarterback, 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 quarterback. It's like, what in the world? I mean, he has been, in my opinion, and I mean this is no disrespect to anyone else in your team, your own team, I think he's been clearly your best player. I think he's been one of the two or three best in the whole league so far this year.
Yeah, and again, I don't look into all that stuff all that much because I think it has a way of evening itself out as the season goes on. And you know, like I was, as you heard me, I was a little surprised to hear that. But, you know, obviously I think his play is a clear indicator of how good he's played so well, you know, from the moment he stepped into this team. And, you know, I don't think we're to a point to even talk about MVP and stuff like that yet, but when it comes to that point, I know I'll be advocating for some of the guys on our football team.
Nick, we've been rejoicing about the play of our defense. Will our defense have an advantage for the zone read stuff that the Commanders' Jaden Daniels runs because Jalen is so good with that stuff and they see it in OTAs and camp?
Yeah, I think that's always helpful. I definitely think that's always helpful. I think, you know, going back to when I was a college coach and coaching on defense, you would play against these triple option teams, and you're like, man, this is tough going out there.
Yeah.
And if you had a team that ran triple option, it was a little easier for you to defend it. And so I think that's a fair statement. And that's you know, because we've done that and they've seen that in OTAs, like you said, and training camp, but. You know, again, you know, when it gets in the season, as you know, you're going against each other less and less,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting ready for the teams that you're playing. And so, obviously, Jaden Daniels and the way they do zone reads and the way they do RPOs and those different things is going to provide a challenge because, you know, this is a good offense and, you know, you're getting ready for different teams week in, week out. And so, we'll have a challenge, and I know our guys are going to be up for that challenge. We've worked hard to this point of the week to get ready for that, but make no mistake about it, it's going to be a challenge for us because it's a good team.
Hey, Nick, final thing here. You know, speaking of a good team, first one, in my opinion, you've played in a while. Doesn't mean you try harder, doesn't mean necessarily you prepare any differently, but do you feel something different when you know it's mid-November, it's getting a little cold, division, at least for the moment, is on the line tomorrow night. Do you feel a little something different when it's a game of that magnitude against a quality club?
you know, every opportunity in the NFL is so precious, right? You only play 17 games, so it's so exciting every time you step out into the field, and the preparation and the work, like, you pour everything you have into each week. And so, like, every game feels the biggest game for us. Now, with that being said, you know, I can't wait for a Thursday night game in our stadium. Like, that, how awesome is that against a division opponent? And I love what you said, like, this time, these are the best memories I have of football dating back to when I'm a kid. You know, it's cold. The leaves are falling off the trees and almost off the trees. There's not a lot of games that I remember as a kid or growing up. Like, you remember the ones that are cold, that are dreary, that are like gloomy all day. Like, you know, going into it, that's my upbringing in the Northeast.
Yeah.
You know, Northeast football growing up. So, you know, that you just feel like, hey, this is football season. Like, what an unbelievable opportunity for us to go out there. So we're excited, no doubt, to be playing a good opponent on Thursday night at home. And like you said, like, yeah, it just feels like football.
Yeah, it does. Hey, Nick, good luck tomorrow night. Big game. I hope you get some sleep afterwards and maybe even enjoy a little bit extra time with your family, obviously, with a few, if you're not days off, but extra days before the next contest. Good luck, Nick.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks,
there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. 215-592-9494.
You tried there.
With what?
The you know, a little more hype, the fire.
A little more hype, right? Ross, he is very, I'll tell you what, man, and he sounds very comfortable right now, and I think, you know, he's obviously toned down some of the stuff from a few weeks ago, but Ross, he is very consistent. He never takes the bait on big game. Now, he leaned into the fall thing. But he's never going to take...
Yeah, just the opponent. They will not say that Washington is a bigger game than anyone else.
Because, Ross, you know, back in the day, 35 years ago, you know, Buddy Ryan would be like, we're going to kick their ass! They stink! But that's not Nick Sirianni. And frankly, it's almost nobody anymore, Ross.
Well, the problem is, if you say publicly that it's a big game,
right,
then... what about the game after that?
I know. And that's the game Buddy often would lose.
And by the way, that's unfortunate because he knows it's a big game.
Of course he does.
We all know it's a big game. I mean, honestly, I think it's by far the biggest game of the season because if they win, man, it's going to be an uphill climb for the Commanders to get back and win the division. Like I know the Eagles' schedule is getting tougher up, but so is the Commanders. If they win this game, they are very much in the driver's seat to win the division and, quite frankly, end up with the 1 or 2 seed. Because remember, the Lions are in the NFC North. So the Lions still have to play the Vikings again, the Packers again. The Bears aren't very good right now, but so – I just think it's hard to overstate how big this game is because of the position it would put the Eagles in for the rest of the year.
All right, let's get calls in here. Ross with us for an hour, as he is every Wednesday at this time. Mike Quick in about an hour. Mike at 9:10 today. Your phone calls, whether it's on the Sixers with Joel last night, the Eagles, the big game tomorrow. Look, usually, of course, when we interview Sirianni, it's earlier in the week and more about the last game. But, you know, this game's tomorrow, and that's obviously why we focus a lot on the Eagles in Washington tomorrow. Big game. Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Chuck, good morning.
Morning, Joe. Good morning, morning team. Richie. Everybody,
what's up, Chuck?
Yo, hey, Richie, man.
What?
You started to realize what I'm telling you about Joel Embiid? Are you starting to really realize that? Because Joe is on my side right now. But I think you need a little bit more swaying.
What do I need swayed on?
This guy's a joke, you know. And I
don't want to believe that part.
But what do you believe?
I believe he needs saved from himself.
No, he needs to save.
Someone needs
himself
to come in there and teach him how to get his head right.
But John,
you know what? Who said it at halftime? Was it halftime? Or was it after the game? Was it Charles? Was it Shaq?
Which one?
He's not going to win anything until he gets his head straight or whatever it was. Yeah. You need to get tough. You need to get tougher.
John, he's also a lot closer to the end of the career than the start. I mean, guys, this is your 10.
He looks 10. Decrepit out there with this, the first game of his opportunity to play. Like, you're finally healthy enough to play, and then you look like that? That didn't look very healthy.
Now, I'm not that worried about that because I've seen that from him before when he comes back. Chuck, I think in three or four games, he'll probably be back to, you know, 30 points a game.
Yeah, he always takes a little bit to get back.
But, Chuck, he is as undependable as any good player ever in Philadelphia sports.
Yo, I thought the the Olympics was going to get his head right. When he played all, around all those stars.
Do you think, is that what this is? Because I thought that was part of it, too. He could be around the best of the best, tough-minded competitors, and it would mold the way he prepares. I thought that's part of what we were watching here, this new approach. That came from being around some of the best sports minds, right? Well, why does he play worse? Why does it look like skinny Joel playing like overweight Joel?
John, he doesn't, I don't know that he'd say he doesn't take it as serious as others. He's just not wired. Like, whatever the Mamba mentality truly represents, he's the opposite. He's just the opposite.
But it's not, but Joe, you, everybody want to focus on his condition. It's not even about the condition. You know, that's fine. You know, you're 7'2", 280 pounds, we get it.
That's
it's
just
the body language. It's the body language.
You're right, you're right. But it starts with the conditioning, I guess.
Yeah, it's,
It's just like, this guy would never, ever be successful here.
No, Chuck, you've been saying it for a couple years now. All right, Chuck, give me a great answer for the Flyers tickets.
Oh, Joe, I didn't even say nothing about the Eagles, man.
Yeah, well, go for it.
Quickly get me off the phone.
Well, you know, I got a lot of people here. But
for 5 minutes. Let me speak for a second about my birds, man.
All right, here's my question to you.
What's up, Doc?
All right, what do you got on the Eagles?
Yeah, well, let me say this.
I thought that was the E at first. I was like, whoa.
I mean,
it's like I'm re-greeting you, Chuck.
I don't know if
Chuck.
That one works or not.
Sure it does.
You've got a lot of good ones. I don't know if the Bugs Bunny
it's
works.
It's so ridiculous.
I feel like it doesn't work great.
Chuck, I don't normally do it in the middle of a call, but like I was resetting the call for you. Like,
I just don't think it works. I'm telling you. You know?
All right, Chuck, what do you got on the birds?
The last of the Mohicans bed, guys.
You always seem to do it on my
Chuck,
time.
Chuck, go ahead, pal.
On my time, you always seem to play that stupid drop. You know
don't give me a Mr. Hand, my time, your time.
I'll
run you.
Is it personal, Chuck?
I'll run you if you give me Mr. Hand, my time, your time. Spicoli didn't like that.
Hey, let me say this, right? The birds tomorrow, right? Jalen, he has to show up tomorrow and have his best game of the season.
Yeah,
can Jalen outduel Jaden? I think the defense is going to hold his own. I think the defense will be fine tomorrow. But can Jalen make more plays than Jaden?
Yes.
And that's going to be the story of the game.
It's going to be fascinating.
You say he's the elite player. Elite quarterback show up in this
time. All right, Chuck, give me an answer here. Best scene with food.
Best scene with food? Soul Food. You ever seen that movie Soul Food with Vivica Fox?
I have not, but I'll write it down. All right, Chuck, we got you, my man. Let's listen to Jaws. You know, he said something yesterday. Ross had referenced it earlier. Ross, this was quite a statement from Ron Jaworski. And when he said it, I was racking my brain to figure out who I would consider the best, at least that I've seen. And candidly, I'm not sure. Before we get to that, let's listen to Jaws yesterday on our program talking about Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, how good is he?
I don't want to overblow what I'm going to say, but I will. He's the best rookie quarterback I have ever seen, Joe.
That's a big wow, Joss.
I've seen a lot of them. I came in this league in 1973. I've been around a long time. The guy has been absolutely phenomenal. There's his calmness, his ability to throw the ball deep, short, his anticipation. I watch his feet. He's very calm in the pocket. And he's a guy that kind of plays with a smile on his face. He's enjoying playing football. And he seems to have rallied the Washington Commanders, and where he's the guy that is their future. He's really been outstanding. His ability to extend the play, read coverage, throw accurately. I mean, it's remarkable for a rookie. I've been just blown away.
You know, two different things in there. One is the challenge tomorrow night against a player that's turning Jaws' head like that. The other is whether,
The best rookie he's ever seen. The best rookie he's ever seen.
Rookie quarterback.
Rookie quarterback. But this is the position that he played.
Yeah.
He does know a lot better than most.
Well, let's start with this. A lot of rookies back in the day didn't play. So even Mahomes, as recently as about 7 or 8 years ago, didn't play as a rookie. So you got that reality.
Didn't play. Aaron Rodgers didn't play.
Totally. So you got that. Then you got the guys that get in there like Troy Aikman. They get beat up because they're on a horrible team. You know, Aikman was 1-15.
Interception record.
Yeah, he was Peyton Manning, all the interceptions. So, like, when Jaws said it, the first thing that went through my mind was, wow. Second thing was, Well, I don't know who the best rookie quarterback previously had been. Ross, you brought up C.J. Stroud. He was certainly really
Andrew
good.
Andrew Luck was always that was the one that always stood out to me over the years.
Marino came up on Twitter. A couple of people were saying Marino. Now, he had the great year, too.
Second year, yeah.
When he had the 48 touchdowns. I'm too young to tell you what he was in 83. I was 5 years old. I mean, obviously, he was very good. I don't know. But when Jaws says, I mean, Ross, when Jaws says tomorrow night the Eagles face the quarterback that he believes is the best rookie quarterback in the history of the NFL, that is unbelievable.
The fact that none of us are saying someone else clearly tells you he's at least in the running.
Yeah.
So with Andrew Luck.
Because we could say it at other positions.
Whoever.
We could say Javon Kearse, definitely one of the best rookie edge rushers ever. Randy Moss, definitely one of the best wide receivers as a rookie. Like, we could name that easy.
So I have a concern, actually, about all of the Jaden Daniels hype and what Chuck just said about Jalen Hurts has to step up. I hope that Jalen Hurts does not make this game about him.
I don't think he will. You worry about that?
I don't think he will either. But when you watch, there are times in a game where, like on the zone read, where it looks to me like he's making the wrong read when he pulls the ball and takes it himself. I think there are times, I don't think it's about him. I just think there are times where Hurts thinks, I got to make a play. I'm going to take it this time, and doesn't necessarily do what the play is supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, he should give it to the running back. Instead, he pulls it because he kind of predetermined he wants to run it. And I think sometimes with some of the passes, he kind of predetermines he wants to throw it to AJ or whatever. I just hope, and I think Hurts, his dad.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's a coach. He's a very mature young man. I just hope all the Jaden Daniels hype and even people like Chuck saying, Hurts has to outplay him. He's only a rookie. I hope Hurts does not make tomorrow night about him, because he has a better team. He doesn't need to have better stats than Daniels for them to win the game. He usually is pretty good about saying, make the main thing the main thing. The Eagles winning, that is all Hurts needs to do, is win the game. He doesn't have to make more plays than Daniels. He doesn't have to show he's better. He just needs to do what the Eagles need to do to win the game.
Tremendous to be with you on this Wednesday morning. You know, big game tomorrow, Eagles and Washington. And I'd like to say big game tonight, Sixers and Cavs, but, you know, we don't even know if the big guy's going to play.
Maybe. Yeah, one team's like 10 games up on the other one or whatever it is. So,
the Sixers are 2-8, and the Cavs are 12-0.
So they're 10 games up in the win column, 8 in the loss. So I guess they're 9 games up on the
Ross,
Sixers.
The Sixers are 9 out, 10 games into the season.
It's early, though, Joe.
I'll tell you something crazy, though, and this will make people feel a little better, because there's not much to feel good about with the Sixers right now. However, I'll give you a fact that plays to the Sixers. They are only, you ready for this? They are only 3 games out of the 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's only two teams above 500 in the whole conference, and there's two teams that have 500 record, and then everyone else below 500.
Question.
I can make that work. Sir. I just don't like the way our team looks or is or
but hold on
will
second.
Be.
We all still think they'll make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, as long as the main guys
comes back.
As long as the main guys play enough.
Yeah, but I expect that those three, the big three, it'll be, I don't know, April, and we'll be sitting here saying, oh, no, they've played two games together.
Yeah,
the big three have played, but there's no games.
I don't think we'll see the true Sixers until December.
We may not see it until next year.
December, I think it's 2025.
No, I mean next season.
We might. I just worry. Yeah. I mean, true Sixers of this season, like what they truly can be and what they are. I just hope they don't dig themselves in a hole that's so deep they can't get out.
I think this is the true Sixers, always going to let you down.
No, I get. Look,
this,
I get
this group.
Each point said, I think, has legitimacy here. I mean, look, we don't even know if Joel's going to play today, which is why it's a Twitter poll question of the day. Brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question: do you think Embiid plays in tonight's back-to-back? Yes or no? I'll say this. It certainly helps them, John, that the conference isn't running away from them. I mean, it really does. Because if they were in the West and there was all these teams above 500 and they were 2-8, you'd be a little bit more inclined to get the big guy out there. But if you're only a game or two behind...
They can't possibly, as an organization, they can't possibly say, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and play him, even though we started the season saying he was not going to do this.
Well,
ever.
They didn't say that. He said that.
But he said that in conjunction, I think, with them.
I know. I'm just saying the Sixers have not said that.
Devin, you cover the Sixers for the station. You're down there a decent amount of games. Mm-hmm. So, like a pregame scenario last night when Nick Nurse is talking.
Yeah.
Do you sense, because sometimes we see what's on camera because it airs, but then there's pregame scrums that don't ever make the light of day visually.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sense in his face that he knows this whole thing is ridiculous?
Ooh, I like this little body language analysis.
What do you mean by this thing? The Embiid thing?
Embiid, primarily the Sixers, who he reports to. These players are in, or you know what's
the
scary?
The crap he has to pedal for them.
How about last night when the ESPN announcer said Paul George has played less games last 5 years than Joel Embiid?
Yeah, that's not.
I was
great,
like, holy hell!
That's
like,
not great.
Do you do you see it on him?
I certainly did during, like, earlier, you know, when we were kind of questioning why Embiid wasn't playing, what the plan was he injured, was he not? I sensed an exasperation from Nick Nurse. I will say, last night, pregame, he seemed probably in the best spirits that I've seen him in
because
yet.
Joel was coming out.
We didn't have to lie for him anymore.
He was making jokes about the blue court and the NBA Cup and all
and
that.
Then,
the tournament.
About after the game, did it feel as though his hopes were dashed?
No, because I think he's very much aware as a coach that this team has not even scratched the surface of what they can be. And they haven't been able to because they haven't had their big three guys play together on the court yet. And last night was the first game that Paul George and Joel Embiid were able to even play together. So it's going to take time to build that synergy with the team on the floor. I just hope, again, it's not too late. But Nick Nurse, like, he seems confident that these guys can get there. He really does. And I'm not just saying that.
Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, Ross with us as well, Eagles and Washington. Ross, give us something else on Washington we should be aware of related to this game. Their defense. What do they got?
Yeah, so they're middle of the pack. They're not great defensively. In fact, they're 28th against the run. 28th run defense in the NFL. And arguably their best player, which probably makes what they've done even more impressive, arguably the best player on the team, Jonathan Allen, is out. He's on IR. He got hurt, which makes what they've done even more impressive. It does not sound like Marshawn Lattimore is going to be able to play tomorrow night, which is huge because that was a major addition for them. They've got really good linebackers. Bobby Wagner, people might not even know, Bobby Wagner plays for the Commanders now. Like Hall of Fame
plays
Bobby
really
Wagner,
well for the Commanders.
Plays for the Commanders. And then the kid next to him, Frankie Louvu, I always liked in Carolina. So they're kind of led by their linebackers. They're aggressive. They play hard. You know, Dante Fowler who's been everywhere, he's playing really well off the edge for them.
Well, that's crazy. He was, you know, where was he picked? Wasn't he like number six in the overall,
I think he was number three. I think he was number three.
Yeah,
in the draft.
I don't even remember what team. Jags, probably.
Yeah, and then he went to the Rams. Sure, he was all over.
If there's a good player in the league that's been for a bunch of teams and you can't remember who drafted him, it's the Jags.
That's right.
Yeah. It's always the Jags.
I love
it. Here's the thing. Both the O-line and the defense are better. The sum is better than its parts.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're playing better than when you look at them. Like, they don't have a lot of guys that are going to go to the Pro Bowl on the O-line or the defense. Not a lot of these guys are big-name guys or highly paid guys, which, I don't know, I think says a lot about Dan Quinn, who everybody makes fun of because they lost that one Super Bowl. But he did a lot of winning in Atlanta. And the Cowboys' defense was pretty awesome the last few years when he was there.
Very true. All right, Ross, final thing here. And again, Ross with us for an hour every Wednesday at this time. Let's just sneak in a quick Dallas thing. We'll have a hearty laugh at them. So, like, what in the hell is going on in Dallas? I mean, they are a joke.
So, two separate thoughts. One is, and I think we all need to recognize when we're at that stage in life, I think Jerry Jones is at the stage where he probably should not be speaking publicly on behalf of the team.
Wow.
He's 82 years old, I think.
Probably shouldn't be running the team either.
Well, he seemed pretty spry until recently, I thought.
You're 1,000% correct, Joe. Look, I would take being as lucid and coherent as Jerry until 80 right now in a heartbeat.
Yeah. He's like a cornerback. It comes quickly
I think he snapped at the morning radio guys and told them he would get them fired. I mean, because they were asking him questions. I mean, he's kind of gone to the point where Stephen Jones might have to say, you know what, Dad, why don't you let me take these now? But he doesn't, you know, nobody in that position ever wants to say that. So that's number one. Number two, listen, this is what happens. They did nothing this offseason to try to get better. They let Biadasz go at center. He's with the Commander. They let Tyron Smith go at left tackle. They let Tony Pollard go to the Titans. They objectively did not add anyone to make the team better. So nobody should be surprised that they're worse. Are we surprised that they're this much worse? Yes.
Yeah.
Like that game, I teetered. Like, you guys are going to get mad at me when I say this.
No, you turned it off in the fourth quarter, right?
No. Okay. No, there was part of me watching that game that almost felt bad for Cowboys fans. Like, it was so bad.
Ross. You're right. I'm mad at you for saying that, Ross.
Yeah, I know. You're mad. No, it's like 3rd and 12, and I was literally saying to my family, which check down is Cooper Rush going to throw to on this play? And, I mean, it was... That was bad, bad. How much of that game, Joe, in your mind was good Eagles? How much was bad Cowboys?
Oh, man. That's
50-50 at best.
Really, Ross, that's the conundrum we're all trying to face to swing it back to the Eagles on what are the 7-2 Eagles. Are they truly good/great?
Well, they won by 20
I know.
At Cincinnati.
I know.
That's super impressive.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But, I mean, there was that one thing where they looked like, you know, what it was, football follies, the announcer said, and it was true. I mean, Dallas looked like a joke, and the Eagles ended up racking up a lot of points because I think they got 5 turnovers and a bunch of short fields. But, look, we'll say, hey, Ross, have a great time enjoying that game tomorrow night. Again, everyone follow Ross on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. And, Ross, we look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks, pal.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Ross Tucker. By the way, shout out to and thank you to Henry's Hots Barbecue.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
This is the greatest thing
I've eaten. So great.
As long as I can remember. And I'm not exaggerating. I had to bring it in, and I've been sneaking little bites in between, and I never make it a habit to do that. It's so great.
Yeah.
And the collard greens are the best I've tasted in 20 years or so, and I can't get enough. And they're some of my favorite in the world.
And the ribs are perfect, perfect.
Oh, the ribs are fantastic. And then there's a brisket egg breakfast dish with potatoes in there that is just
phenomenal. It's the
fried
greatest.
Fried chicken is awesome. The
mac and cheese
thing I've ever
is like perfect mac and cheese.
Oh. I don't like
great.
Mac and cheese unless it's homemade.
I've ever had.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's
well,
terrific.
Well, look, we thank Henry's Hots Barbecue. We encourage you to get there for some food, whether it's a game day or any day. You know, located in Folsom, New Jersey, with restaurant, you know, dining in, takeout, the whole deal. The official barbecue of the Eagles Radio Network. We love Henry's Hots Barbecue here at WIP. Holiday catering, great for that. Thanksgiving specials, great for that. Tailgate parties, great for that. Visit, here's the website, bestbarbecuesj.com.
It is.
Best Barbecue
Best.
SJ, obviously.
Yeah, at the website.
Meaning South Jersey. Bestbarbecuesj.com. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Gary in Vineland, New Jersey. Good morning, Gary.
It is great barbecue. Love that place.
Super great. Hi, Gary.
So the camera. So you realize that you weren't in shape. So rather than getting in shape to make the team, you're like, meh, I'm out.
I didn't realize it mattered until midway through those runs.
And don't forget asthma.
Well, the asthma was a huge factor. Gary, why do I feel like I'm getting picked on with this asthma thing?
I have asthma. I play
because it's pretend.
No,
because we've been with you for eight years, and you've never once brought up asthma. Ever.
I've never seen you use an inhaler.
Yeah.
Don't you
never
need
seen
one
that.
Of those
well, you guys
you
never seen me
asthma.
Run. That's
we
why
have seen you run, actually. Yeah.
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 We've seen you play. We've seen you play in basketball games.
We've done all this stuff.
We've seen you play in baseball games.
But not a full
fledged. We've never seen an inhaler. Ever.
No. And again, we've ripped you for athletic stuff for 8 years, and you've never once mentioned asthma as a reason for anything.
Gary, can I tell you why? Because I'm not.
Because you don't have asthma.
Because I'm not an excuse maker.
Okay.
And it came up yesterday, and then now people. No, you guys know I'm a man. I don't make excuses. Okay?
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, I was really grappling there for something.
So, Joel was like the dad that came off the couch and was running hoops with his sons and his friends, and just like, I need a break, guys. I need a break.
Like, what, it looked that way.
What were you doing for the past 4 months? Like,
it's been a couple
zero
2 months.
Gravity treadmill. Do something.
It's amazing that he got this. Well, that he got far enough out of shape after being. Olympics shape. He was in shape for those Olympic games.
Well, Gary, part of what it tells me also is that the knee is worse than some people would want you to think it is, being not that big a deal.
If you're that big and everyone gives you, it's really hard to keep your conditioning up when you're 7'2" and you have a bum wheel.
Yeah,
you
but John,
have to take, how do you do that? Look, you get in the underwater treadmill. And you run unweighted.
Yeah,
that's how you do it. And Joel needs to take advantage of modern technology in some respects.
It's not that modern.
Just actually, do
yeah,
the
it's
work.
Really not.
Right. I had surgery on my knee 30 years ago and did water rehab.
Yeah,
it's not that modern.
Yeah, Gary, give me a quick point on the Eagles, my man.
Well, real quick with the Cowboys, you know you're in a bad way when Ben DiNucci is clowning you on the internet about the stadium.
Oh,
like I just. That guy is so funny, man. He was saying about, and I don't understand, like, if your receiver's saying, I can't see the ball, and you're like, nah. So do a better job.
Yeah.
I just.
All right,
so
Gary,
wonderful.
Give me an answer here. A scene with food.
When Harry Met Sally.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that could win.
Answer.
Do we know for sure that they've been served, or is there food at a different table, I guess?
They've been served.
Yeah, they've been served.
I think she's holding her sandwich.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. Makes sense because her ordering at least was part of the process in that movie.
Yeah.
And okay, makes sense. All right, let's listen to how it sounded when Joel was introduced last night. Now, full disclosure, you got to know, a bunch of Knicks fans in attendance. Devin, what would you estimate percentage Knicks fans?
So I want to say either like a quarter of the crowd or more. There was a decent amount and they were loud. Like they were their cheers. They also had more to cheer about, but their cheers were definitely louder than Sixers cheers.
A quarter of the arena.
It was a lot.
Seem like a lot.
That would be about 5,000.
I don't know about the upper levels, but from where I was sitting, I would say at least a quarter,
okay.
If not more.
Well, a quarter would be 5,000 or more if it's more than a quarter. because there's about 20,000 there.
I think that reflects the general malaise that we've all got. That many tickets would be available. Well, yeah. I don't know.
Well, Sixers haven't been fun to watch.
No, so.
No, they haven't been. And the Knicks did have more to cheer for last night. That's obvious. All right, we'll get to the audio of that. James is actually having a trouble just finding that audio in that system. We'll get to that shortly. In the meantime, I want to play some audio of AJ Pierzynski, because this was also very interesting yesterday, and not necessarily shocking about Alec Bohm, but I'll say a little startling when you hear it from a former player turned announcer like Pierzynski, who, if you remember, announced that Phillies NL, what do they call that, DS?
Mm-hmm.
What round was that? The NLDS. So Pierzynski announced that round on TV, and he was around the club for those four games, and the Phillies bowed out to the New York Mets. So we've seen reports, including one just yesterday, that Alec Bohm on the trade block. And that's not breaking news. And again, I'll say this before we go any further. I'd rather they dump Castellanos than Bohm. I think too many people were
right,
too...
Right, but you can understand that you get more Bohm as 2 years of control at a much cheaper price.
I understand
yes.
that. Yeah, but I want to be clear. I think too many people were of the mindset, keep Casty. If you got to get rid of one, get rid of Bohm, because how it ended. I think Bohm's a better player. But as James points out, you get more for... You get more for Bohm.
I think he's got something major
going on. I know you do. I know you think that.
With his attitude, with his approach, with his outlook. That's bad.
Pierzynski is clearly indicating as such. Listen to AJ Pierzynski on the MLB Network yesterday. This is not a ringing endorsement of Alec Bohm.
Here's the biggest thing I'll say with Alec Bohm after being around the Phillies for about a week in the playoffs and then seeing he needs to improve things, not his performance. Let's just say that. There's some people around that organization that aren't huge fans of the way he acts sometimes. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But there are some people that have said he needs to basically grow up a little bit. There are some things that he's done that people that, you know, he got benched in the playoffs, basically. If you remember, what was it, game three, he got benched for Sosa.
You think that had to do with something else or just underperformance? Or not going to say?
It had to do with both.
Got it.
From people, and this didn't come from, you know, this came from people around the Phillies.
Yep.
I'm not saying Dave Dombrowski or Sam Fold or Rob Thomas, none of those people, but it came from people that are around and have a lot of knowledge about the Phillies that he needs to take the next step as a maturing adult. Well, and I think that people, if you watch the Phillies games all the time, and Kratz, you watch them all the time, you know what I'm talking about.
John, this was your theory in the playoffs, crystal clear. You said
no
this.
No question about it.
Yeah.
The guy's a baby, a big baby. He needs to grow up. He needs to figure it out. And people are sick of waiting. People are sick of waiting. It's been long enough. And we saw him improve slightly as a fielder. He needs to improve his brain.
Do you understand my point, John, about
emotional toughness?
I'm not saying you're wrong that I want to see great improvement in that regard, but do you get my point? Be careful dumping a guy who was second in the league in doubles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's pretty good player. Is he exceptional? No, but he's pretty darn good player.
He's, darn good doesn't really even express it. He's a young player who will continue to grow and improve, I would expect.
He should for the next couple years.
At times, you can make the argument that he was the guy I had the most faith could actually put the bat on the ball in a prime situation. There were times where it felt like he was the most talented hitter that we had.
Well, there were times he carried them in
April. Not home run hitter, but just hitter. Yeah. Talented hitter. He really has a gift for that. And he has improved tons as a fielder. Not that he's good, but it's a shame if his childishness prevents us as a team, the Phillies, from taking advantage of his skills.
Well, speaking of childishness, let's talk about Joel Embiid.
Wow, what a segue.
Right. So let's listen to when Joel was introduced. We got the audio. Joel introduced last night. You got to take it with a bit of a grain of salt because there's a lot of Knicks fans there. But it did strike me like Joel, while he got certainly an ovation, it was not a long one. It was not a particularly loud one, considering the return of Joel Embiid. And it makes me wonder, and there's no way to know, what percentage of Sixers fans were part of the booers as compared to the cheers. Here was when he was introduced. And we're going to give you Paul George before that, a little compare and contrast leading up to Embiid.
6'8 from Palmdale, California, number 8, Paul George!
tepid almost.
Yeah, Paul George was too. It just, the whole thing was very like tame.
Well,
you
reap
what you sow with that team.
You're watching a 2-17.
Oh yeah,
before that game, I got a 2-17, and my star has annoyed me.
You're not jumping up to your feet and screaming, yeah. Oh,
boy. This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.